Hello, my name is Dakota Jones, and I am a sophomore here at UMBC.
And my name is Kamikaze Gehima. I'm a junior here at UMBC. So today we're going to be talking about the role of protest music in the Black Lives Matter movement. In particular, we're going to be talking about hip hop music and hip hop culture, how it shaped the movement and different influences it has as far as their artists and songs and their effect on the social media craze and just different nuances surrounding the topic. So I have a question for you. Do you like hip hop? If so, why?
Yes, I like hip hop music. I like hip hop music because it is the music that I grew up on, and it's also my favorite genre of music. And my favorite hip hop artist is Young Thug, and my favorite song is called Webby.
I like hip hop music too. Actually, I love it, and pretty much for the same reasons. I grew up on it. It's pretty much the music of my childhood, and it makes me feel free. It makes me feel like someone understands and someone just gets what it means to be, a black kid growing up or just a black person in this country.
All's my life I has to fight, nigga. All's my life hard times like yeah, bad trips like yeah. Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie, you fucked up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
The song just played is called All Right by Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar is an American rapper and songwriter who was born in Compton, California. All Right is on his album To Pimp a Butterfly, which came out in 2015 and is a song about hope. The song is associated with the Black Lives Matter movement because plenty of people use the chorus, which is We Gonna Be All Right, in a form of protest when they march in the streets. The song is referred to by some people the unifying soundtrack of the movement. Kendrick Lamar says this song was inspired by his trip to South Africa, in which he witnessed that the people of Africa had way more problems, and he says their struggle was 10 times harder. It just goes to show that this is a universal struggle. It's beautiful because the we he talks about is not just you and me here in the States, but it's all of us. In the music video for this song, it shows the people being angry at how they're being mistreated and them standing on top of police cars, breaking their windows, and setting the cars on fire. There's also a part in the video where the people are standing together chanting, We gonna be all right. Kami, what is your say on this song?
All right, well, before I discuss the song, I really just want to touch upon Kendrick Lamar as an artist and what kind of influence he has on the genre and the movement. Kendrick Lamar is undeniably one of the best, if not the best, rapper of this time, really, and who really makes very beautiful music. And this song in particular, off his like To Pimp a Butterfly album, is one that really caught my eye just because of his message of hope. But he's not really just talking about blind hope and how we just have to know that things are going to be right because that's what it's going to be, because there's nothing else to accept. But he really makes the struggles known. And what I mean struggles is he talks about his personal struggle with depression. He talks about the national black struggle with police brutality. Like, he has that one line where he's like, we hate popo, want to kill us dead in the street for sure. And that is something that a lot of people deal with on a day-to-day basis. And he also, as he's talked about the song, talks about struggles outside of America. What people like you and I might not necessarily know, but like, a black struggle is a universal struggle. Analyzing the song is also an experience. I've caught a lot of influences on it, as far like Negro spiritual influences, as he talks about God a lot, and that's something that is repeated over and over again in black music throughout history. There are definitely some jazz influences, some blues, and he really makes sure to incorporate a lot of different aspects and nuances of music into this one song, and incorporates a lot of feeling and hope. And it's a heavy song, one of his heaviest songs, and it's just beautiful. Okay, so next we're gonna discuss Beyoncé. Beyoncé is a legend in her own right. Her performances are nothing short of iconic, and there's just no denying her influence and power. One of these more famous performances was at the recent 50th Super Bowl halftime show. This performance garnered a lot of attention and controversy, mainly because up until then, she was one of those artists that transcended race. You can't see me do this, but I did air quotes when I said transcended, because Beyoncé has always embraced her blackness, even though mainstream culture tried to erase it. With this particular performance, she made sure to highlight, bold, and emphasize it. Anywho, for those who are not aware of the controversy surrounding this performance, let me give you a bit of background information. To begin with, Beyoncé and her backup dancers performed in Black Panther-esque outfits. They were seen throwing up the Black Power fist, all the while performing her single Formation. The song itself, Formation, has been criticized for its anti-police stance. On the other hand, supporters of the song say it's specifically anti-police brutality and not anti-police. Following the performance, Saturday Night Live, a famous night show, performed a sketch entitled The Day Beyoncé Turned Black. The Miami Union called for cops to boycott Beyoncé. Nashville Fraternal Order of Police asked its members not to work at her concerts. Think pieces were written chastising Beyoncé. People were mad, but just as many people were happy. Those that were happy for giving her voice to the movement and people who typically don't have that stage. She finds your dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy, Alabama. I'm a Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. In my bag. Swag. And I have a question for you. Do you think that celebrities have a responsibility to discuss social issues?
I say yes. Celebrities should make it a responsibility to discuss social issues in the world because they are role models to a lot of younger people and the things that they do and say we look up to. Lots of young people want to grow up to be people like Beyoncé or Kendrick Lamar, and the things that us young people hear them say, we tend to repeat and follow it. Beyoncé and her husband Jay-Z was on the side of Hillary Clinton during this year's election. So seeing that on the news, so much of the youth that is allowed to vote and that listen to Beyoncé will go out and vote for Hillary Clinton because Beyoncé is their role model and they want to do what she does. Celebrities are still people too, so what goes on in the world can still affect them too. Just because they are celebrities doesn't mean they are immune to what goes on. Their voices are powerful because they influence the younger generation of the world. With all the things happening to African American these days, it's good to know that people with a higher status are with them in the struggle, and that they are with them through what is going on and they are not alone. Also, these hip-hop artists are African Americans themselves, and they weren't always celebrities, so they could have endured some of the things that we are enduring now and understand how we feel.
In my head, like, is this awkward? Should I even be here marching? Thinking if they can, how can I breathe? Thinking if they chant, what do I say? I want to take a stance because we are not free. And then I thought about it, we are not we. Am I in the outside looking in? Or am I in the inside looking out? Is it my place to get my 2 cents? Or should I stand on the side and shut my mouth? No justice, no peace. Okay, I'm saying that. They're chanting out Black Lives Matter. But I don't say it back. Is it okay for me to say? I don't know, so I watch and stand in front of a line of police that look the same as me, only separated by a badge, a baton, a can, a mace, a mask, a shield, a gun with gloves on hands that gives an alibi in case somebody dies behind a bullet that flies out of their nine, takes another child's life on sight.
Sacrifice to create a more just society.
Yes, I am.
Silence is a luxury. Hip hop is not a luxury. Your silence is a luxury. Hip hop is not a luxury.
The song that was just played was called White Privilege 2 and is a song by a white artist named Macklemore and Ryan Lewis featuring Jamila Woods. It was written in 2016. This song discusses white privilege and the social movement associated with Black Lives Matter. This song is very powerful, and Macklemore, who is not talking about himself in the verses, but is talking about people who want to speak up about Black Lives, but they are nervous, talks about how he wants to join the movement of Black Lives Matter, but he is scared, doubting himself, because he is not black, so he doesn't think he would fit in. When I first heard that, it made me think that there are plenty of people out there that just want to join us in the protest of Black Lives, but they don't want to say anything because they aren't our skin color, or because they are nervous and don't think that it's their business. He says the police look the same as them, except they are separated by a badge and a gun, basically. The message he is trying to put is not to be afraid and to stand up for what you believe in. Just because you're white doesn't mean you can't say Black Lives Matter. Macklemore in this song is telling people to use the voice that God has given you to stand up for what you believe in. In this song, there's a repeating interlude by protesters which say, "Hands up, don't shoot." That is saying we are complying, but don't shoot us. In many cases that has happened recently, we've seen African American men with their hands up getting shot for no reason. The verses and words put into this song are really deep and are trying to deliver a message. The verse that affects me the most is the outro sung by Jamila Woods, which says, "Your silence is a luxury," which means if you have the choice of being silent, then you're privileged, because either way, you're going to be all right. So speak up and use your voice. Just don't sit around and watch. Do something about it. Call me. What are your thoughts?
I was very touched by this song. I think it's a very special song, and mostly because the other songs that we played and a lot of songs that are hip-hop songs are centered around a black narrative, which goes to say that it's made by black musicians or black artists. This one's different because it's from the point of view of a person of privilege. And as Macklemore said, like, hip-hop, it's always been political. And the question that he's asking is, like, do white privileged people have a place in this Black Lives Matter movement? And he asks, "If I'm only in this for my own self-interest, not for the culture that gave me a voice to begin with, then is this authentic? Is it a gimmick?" To put it in context, it's been really easy for throughout history for white people to kind of co-opt black culture and hip-hop culture and kind of capitalize it. And this isn't just limited to music. It's fashion, it's dances, it's even alcohol. To give you an example, there was recently a very popular song over the summer entitled "Ooh" by a Brooklyn rapper named Young Ma. The most popular lyrics in the song go a little like, you call her Stephanie, I call her Headphony. If you don't get that, I'm not gonna explain it, but it is kind of gross and it's vulgar. But the point being is that a group of young white men heard that song. It was a pretty popular song, but they heard that song and they decided to print out custom labels with the term Headphony on it and slap those labels onto boxes of Hennessy and then proceed to sell them. And that's just one small idea of how black art and black culture has been capitalized off of, and not from the people that are making the music. Mark Macklemore said it best when he said, he was like, "The culture was never yours to begin with." What he's doing and what a lot of us have to start doing is really questioning whether we are prospering at the expense of others. Like, as difficult as it may be to hear, racism isn't, it's very real, and it's not just a white supremacist holding up a kill nigger sign or calling Mexicans rapists. It's much deeper than that. It's institutional, it's discreet, it's really complicated, and has a lot of different nuances to it. And we really have to be comfortable with questioning ourselves and questioning what we've always known as the truth. We have to be comfortable with being wrong. This last song was really a beautiful one that really captured the essence of protest music, not just because it included protests in the music, but that the self-reflection of it was very special.